tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life, and I'm in the company of our great Muballigh of Dawat Islam, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah Jazakullah Sayyidi. Welcome and marhaba.
Ameen wa Iyakum.
MashaAllah. It is wonderful whenever you join in our company, Alhamdulillah, on the screen on Madani channel. And today's discussion and today's topic is polite words, inshallah. So Sayyidi, with regards to today's discussion, before we open the discussion, we should start with the recitation of Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we always do, MashaAllah. This is the way of the pious predecessors. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, with regards to our topic of today, that is polite words. And in this regard, we see that we all, on a daily basis, indulge in conversations with our family members, children, siblings, parents, cousins, aunts, uncles, our neighbors, people in our society, customers, business people, and so on and so forth. And it is seen very often that, you know, we may not pay attention to our demeanor at the time, that how do we talk to people, look right at it objectively at times, and you reflect over our actions. And this is encouraged in Islam, yes, to reflect over our action, hold yourself accountable before your accountability is taken. So yes, this is the time we can, inshallah, better ourselves. And with the same tongue that, you know, unknowingly we may say hurtful things at times, which is not very nice, because if somebody does that to us, we don't like it. So we can't expect others to like it when we do it to them. So alhamdulillah, we all make mistakes and we learn from our mistakes. To err is human, and these human errors, inshallah azza wa jal, we try and we repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our wrong ways, from our misdeeds, from our shortfalls that we may commit in day-to-day life. And inshallah, the thing is to learn from them and to better ourselves, not to repeat the same mistakes twice. As the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, that a mu'min is not bitten from the same hole twice. So shaitan, who can enrage us at times, provoke us against our brothers, sisters, Islamic brothers out there. And it is for us to realize, not to get carried away. And when we speak sweet words, gentle words, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would, as he taught us, subhanAllah. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the peak of the human role model.
Subhanallah.
And today people follow celebrities, and we follow that personality whom the entire world follows. Subhanallah, who gave us the true idea of as to how to be a human being. Prior to the advent of Islam, the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were still human in the flesh and blood, but our way of living was not that of a human. It was worse than that of an animal. But then he came and turned us back into real human being, compassionate, polite, gentle, kind, you know, merciful human beings, subhanAllah. And that we owe it to the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are his ummatis. And it is, alhamdulillah, it suits us to follow in his example, to follow his sunnah, to follow his style of conversation. When we are indulging in a conversation, to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would neither speak very loud, that you know people would be questioning why is he speaking so loud. He never spoke very too loud, and neither was he so soft spoken that people would find it hard to hear.
Subhanallah.
He was alhamdulillah gentle in his conversation. He would speak each word clearly. He wouldn't mince his words. He wouldn't swallow his words. Subhanallah. And these were all beautiful qualities of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, wo dahen jisko sab kun ki kunji kahe uski nafiz hukumat pe lakho salam. That was the beautiful mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from which the pearls of wisdom used to emanate. And you know, look at the caliber of our conversation, Sayyidi, our discussion, our speech. Not everything is worth documenting. Sometimes we feel ashamed of what we say at times. But the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each and every word that the Sahaba listened, it has been documented. And the entire world, it learns from the beautiful words of wisdom that was passed on by the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to also be mindful, watchful as to what we say, when we say, and under the circumstances, what is required of us to say. And whenever we speak to people, we are gentle, we are not abrupt.
Yes.
Because it doesn't really suit us. Us being the ghulam and the devotee of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who never did that.
Yes. Especially, you know, Munasab, when it comes to, say for instance, you know, when we meet another person, and normally what we see in society is that the first words of greeting which we see nowadays is, hey, hello, hi, you know, how are you, etc., etc. But subhanAllah, look at the beauty of Islam. Islam teaches us that when you meet another fellow Muslim, then greet him with the greetings of peace by saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. I mean, how beautiful is this to start a conversation with a person that you are beginning first by sending peace upon that person. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon that person. And this is what we learn from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever he would meet anyone, he would always greet them, and together with greeting them, he would always have a beautiful smile on his face.
Allah.
As the smile of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most beautiful. So if, you know, if a person wants to learn how to be polite, how to talk to someone, they should look at the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another point that you've mentioned, Munasab, is that, you know, those who speak loud, and we see that as well, that those who want to speak loud, and they think that by speaking loud is a proud thing. You know, it's proud to speak loud because in a way it's kind of showing authority, that, you know, you are above so and so. But this was actually the traits and the qualities of the mushrikeen of Arabia.
Yes.
At that time, they would speak loud and they would have pride over this. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah. And the Quran teaches us not to speak loud. So whenever we are indulging in conversation, whenever we are talking to someone, we should follow the etiquette that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us and showed us, and that is not to be too loud, not to be too soft, but to be moderate, to be gentle.
Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, definitely. And that is the way of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidi, you were saying to speak loud. We don't actually gain much from it.
Yeah.
Because we tend to be misunderstood, right? In thinking that, you know, if I speak loud, I'll make a good impression.
Hmm.
And that is the wrong way of going about it, because our ears are not designed to hear loud things.
Yes. They actually get disturbed and they don't want to listen anymore.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes, you know, try speaking to children loudly. They will block their ears.
Yeah.
Because it's hurtful at times.
And sometimes they might even run away.
Yes. Sometimes, you know, in a conversation, we say in our way of saying things that, you know, spoke so loud the windows are shattering.
Allah.
Ma'azallah. So yes, even the things that are non-human, they also don't like the loud sounds. Even the in the technical world, like for example, let's say the sound mixers.
Right.
If there is a pitch, if it goes too high pitch, that start peaking the sound. And there's a certain threshold that if the sound goes above that, it is unbearable to the ears.
Yes.
So these are the things that are not appreciated in any society. And the Quran says, it is like, you know, donkey brain.
The sound of a donkey.
Who likes the sound of a donkey? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Holy Quran, Inna ankar al aswati la sawtul hamir. Meaning the most disliked sound is the voice of a donkey, braying of a donkey. Allahu Akbar. So we shouldn't be like that.
Yes.
We should be, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as a human being. And we shouldn't go to that extent, stoop so low that we are sounding like a donkey.
Yes.
Or barking like a dog.
Especially, you know, when yes. people are in an argument.
Yes.
And they tend to always raise their voices. And they think that by doing that, they are actually winning the argument. But there is a beautiful saying that mentioned, don't raise your voices, raise your words.
Yes.
This will actually make an impact. Not the loudness of one's voice.
Yes. The quality of your argument that you are putting yes. through, the substance you are putting in it, the way you are, alhamdulillah, abstracting it, the way you are bringing in the supportive evidences to support your argument, these are the things, a conversation that carries more weight than an argument that is done in a very loud voice. It doesn't make the next person understand anything, first of all, because that person will be averted to your conversation after that, because you have indirectly insulted the other person. You know, there is something called talking to people,
right?
And there is something called talking at people. So nobody likes to be talked at,
right?
Like
right.
you speaking from top and the person is at the bottom. So a person who screams and talks is in that position. And the person who is talking to, he doesn't like the idea.
Right.
People like to be spoken to, not spoken at.
Subhanallah.
So these are the subtle differences that we need to understand, that if somebody spoke to us in that manner, we wouldn't like it. And there are times when we rather should seal our mouths than say anything further to hurt, furthermore, cause hurt and cause pain to others. Because this tongue that we take it as, you know, this is an innocent thing, ma'azallah, this tongue is the one that is cause of most of our troubles. Most of the sins are committed by the tongue, other than any organ in comparison.
Allah.
And if we can learn to control this tongue, we can control the rest of our movement and actions, inshallah.
Subhanallah.
In fact, it is mentioned in the hadith, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri, radiallahu ta'ala, who he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that when a man wakes up,
right,
the tongue, it starts a conversation to the rest of the body. The body actually says to the tongue that fear Allah azza wa jal concerning us in our regard. Why? Because if you are straight, we will be straight.
Allah.
But if you go crooked, we'll go crooked.
Allah.
So everything depends on the tongue. I mean, at times, somebody may say vulgar, obscene words, and you may be, at times, you may just say it to the wrong person. Trap on somebody's toes, ruffle the feathers that you can't, you know, defend yourself after that. Now, there's a lashback for every action. There's a reaction. The person is going to retaliate. Who's taking the beating after that? Is the tongue taking the beating or the body?
The body.
Allah.
Allah.
Who's getting all the insults after that? Yourself. And what caused it? The tongue.
You know, Masab, everyone will, almost everyone can say, they claim to be, you know, I am strong, I am this and I am that. I mean, if someone really wants to be strong, then they should learn to control their tongue. Because the tongue is very, very difficult to control. And yet it is boneless. Imagine, the tongue has so much of impact, so much of power, that it said the tongue is like a double-edged sword that can slice through, that can penetrate, that can cut. And then once that happens, the wound that is there, that is worse than the wound that is inflicted on the body.
Sure.
Because that wound, it cannot heal easily, and it cannot heal faster as well. So in a case, you know, where a person wants to go loud and use his tongue, using vulgar languages, etc., that person should actually recall the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut." That yes. One who believes in Allah and in the last day should either speak good or should remain silent. One of the two. So we have to assess our situation. If we do not have anything good to say, then it is better for us to remain silent.
True, and you won't regret being silent.
Yes.
But you may, in the fit of rage, you may say something that you will regret. Maybe at times you will have that, you will carry that regret for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And it will eat you up.
Yes. The guilt that it will build up, it will bring the remorse, and after that, the way you will start to resent each other because the conversation went sour. Mm. Speaking of the word sour itself, Nigrani Shura, Hafizahullah, he was, alhamdulillah, giving us some Madani pearls of advice.
MashaAllah.
And he said, when you go to the marketplaces, you don't buy fruits that are sour. You check them. You maybe smell them. You have certain signs to find out whether this fruit that I'm going to buy, whether it's a sweet fruit or not. Mm. And we all like sweet. And mashallah. And when you smell it, you find out, okay, it's smelling sweet. It is a sweet fruit. Similarly, when people approach you, they want to talk to you, they also check.
Mm.
There's a background check. Everyone does. We all have our discretion.
Yeah.
The kind of people we want to talk to, the kind of people we want to associate with, the kind of people that we want to call them our friends.
Mm.
And before they approach you, they screen you. Whether it is worth having you as a friend.
Yes.
Whether it is worth talking to somebody like you. And they judge you. Mm. They screen you. They do a background check. Let me speak to him and see. Assalamu alaikum assalam. The conversation starts just like that. And then through your conversation, that person gets to know whether you are the type of person they can carry out a decent conversation with. First thing first. Because communication is the key to everything.
Yeah.
If there's no communication, you can't bring out what's inside you.
Yes, what's in your heart.
Your feelings, your ideas. Nothing can come out. It is only through the medium of communication. And how you communicate your idea is very important. As important as what you are communicating. There is a thing of what to say, and there is a thing called how to say.
Mm.
Maybe at times what we want to say is the right thing, but how we say it, we mess it up at times. Then later we regret. I didn't say anything wrong. What happened? And mashallah, in this regard, our Rukneshura, he gives beautiful advice. He says that, you know, we call words of advice in the Madani environment of our Dawat Islami, Madani Pearl.
A
Madani pool, Madani flower. And he says, you know, you are giving somebody flower, meaning you are giving somebody an advice. There is a way of doing it. How do you give somebody flower respectfully?
Mm-hmm.
Present it like that, mashallah.
Yeah.
And it is well received.
Mm.
And imagine if you had to hit somebody with that flower. What's going to happen then? What you're doing is right. How you did it wasn't right. And then at times, the words get so harsh, it's the right thing. But the way of delivery is wrong. At times, flowers are not thrown at, the whole pot is thrown at. And in that case, you're causing more damage than good. So what you say is important, and how you say it is also just as important.
Yes. I mean, both of it matters a lot.
Alhamdulillah.
Your way of deliverance. And especially, you know, when giving advice, how to rectify the person. I mean, that also plays a role. Imagine someone is doing something wrong and someone wants to go and correct him or advise him. right? And if the person who is giving the advice, who is rectifying, if he is not polite, that person who's doing the wrong, he wouldn't take nothing, absolutely yes. nothing from this person. Instead, he will give this person a deaf ear and he will run away. Exactly. He wouldn't want to do anything with him. But on the other hand, if the person who was giving advice, if he was polite, he was loving, he was caring, and in a very affectionate manner, he corrected this person, rectified this person. Imagine the amount of impact it would have had on that person. Because now, even without a force, with no pressure, absolutely nothing, that person will be wholeheartedly ready to rectify himself and yes. correct himself without even feeling bad about anything, just because of being polite and using polite words.
Exactly. Let's say, for example, at times we may rectify people in public places.
Mm.
That is not the way of doing it, because that is a reason for the person's embarrassment.
Yes.
Imagine if somebody has to tell you in public, open public, you're doing the wrong thing, don't do it.
Mm. That's embarrassment.
Yes. Mm. And then the right way is to approach that person in privacy
yeah.
and sit with that person one-on-one and try to explain to him beautiful words, alhamdulillah,
yes.
the way our Dawat Islami teaches us to approach people with kindness, speak to them politely, gentle words. And mashallah, in this way, nobody gets hurt. The rectification is done. The person yeah. actually will take your advice. There are more chances of him taking your advice
yes.
than turning back at you. And in this case, if you rectify the person publicly in an abrupt way, instead of taking the advice, he will take no advice. Rather, he will retaliate you for the rest of his life.
Mm.
He will try and oppose you in whatever you say.
Yeah.
Just because he can. So these are, alhamdulillah, the different ways that we can at times approach people. And even our children, people think that, no, they are children. Mm. You can talk to them anyhow. No. At times, you know, children, they don't have filters.
Yes.
We as grown-ups and adults, we have filters. We have learned diplomacy over time. We have learned discretion over time.
Yeah.
We know when to say, what to say, to whom to say it, whom we shouldn't disclose certain things to, and so on and so forth. Children don't know all of this. And at times, children come and tell you, speak to you in the most abrupt manner. That is raw form.
Yeah.
And you think, and the parents will tell you, no, don't talk like that. Say it like this in a respectful manner. That means if the parents spoke to that child in a respectful manner, the yes. child would be respectful.
100%.
But because this is how the child was grown up.
Yes.
To hear this kind of conversations, abrupt conversations among the family members. So he's the reflection of the family. Perhaps
to him it's like normal to the child.
To him it's normal.
Yeah.
And if we spoke to the children in the manner that we would like to be spoken to when we are outside our home, then we have to carry this persona, so to say. But it must be genuine at the same time. To say, please, you know, in nowadays, alhamdulillah, in every language, there are words to show respect.
Right.
Like, for example, in English, we may say, please, before putting through a request. I may tell Sesa, please pass me your phone. I just want to look at something. Or that is one way of saying it respectfully, yes. politely. Right. Other way of saying, give me a phone.
There's a big difference there.
Yes.
Right.
When a rogue, when a person who wants to rob you, when he comes to you, he wouldn't say, please give me. When a person who has your worst interest at heart, they will speak to you in that tone. But a person who respects you, who likes you, will always speak to you politely. So in this way also it shows that how much the other person values you.
Yes.
What they see you as, how they perceive you. And it says a lot. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he says that Tamar Sukhan na gufta bashad, aibo huna rash na gufta bashad, meaning until the man speaks, all his qualities and all his, you know, the bad qualities and the good qualities,
right.
they all be concealed until one opens his mouth.
Allah.
Only through the conversation and communication you get to know a person. So this is a doorway to our personality. We expose ourselves, our personality, yes. when we utter anything. And it says a lot, it speaks volumes about who we are.
100%, especially Munasab, you know, when being polite to someone, when being kind to someone. One thing is being polite, right? You are being polite to the person. Together with that, by being polite to someone, that person is actually getting happy because of you. So what happened is you have placed happiness into the heart of that fellow Muslim.
Subhanallah.
And subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that he mentioned in a hadith that after all the fara'id acts, after all the obligatory acts, the most superior act in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to place happiness in the hearts of other fellow Muslims. So imagine the impact that politeness has, that being kind to someone else has.
Alhamdulillah. And this is the doorway, you know, of opening up. If you are not polite to people, if you're not respectful to people, they won't open up to you.
Hmm.
They won't get close to you. Who wants to be close to somebody who's rude?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get close to anything negative in their lives. Just like how people avoid fire. Just in the same manner. They avoid people who are toxic,
right,
who are negative, who are rude. And at times you will see people that, you know, they have a loose tongue.
Hmm.
They have no filters. They can say whatever they want. At any given time, they don't care if my words are going to hurt somebody.
Yes.
They might cause discomfort to someone. They have no care in the world.
Mm.
And this kind of people, we need to keep ourselves away from them. And this is the kind of people that we must know how to not to be like them.
Right.
You know, a wise person, people asked him, how did you become so wise? Intelligent. He said, I looked at the fools, what they do, and I avoided doing what they do.
Oh,
this is one way to really mold your personalities. Look at the negative things and avoid them and bring positivity in your life, inshallah.
We should take lessons from those.
Yes. So the do's are there. Adopt the qualities, the good qualities, subhanAllah, pious predecessors, sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his seerah, his way of life. Should definitely adopt. But when we see those dictators of the past, those evil people of the past, even in present day, we have ulama-e-deen, we have the great muballighin of Dawat Islami who are molded in alhamdulillah, in the mold of sunnah.
Subhanallah.
They are sunnah driven. Wherever they go, they spread the fragrance of sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can emulate them.
Yes.
And on the other hand, we have people. The evil society, people who join clubs, people who go and gamble, people who are indulged in all sorts of vices.
Mm.
And one is their way of life. We should know, okay, where to draw the line.
Absolutely.
You know, stay in your lane. You go there, don't drag me with you.
Yeah.
Inshallah, you can politely ask them if you have any relationships with them. Maybe perhaps at times, they can be your relatives whom you can't avoid.
Yeah.
That they may have joined the wrong path. And there is a way of approaching them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged mending family ties. If your family member, if your relative is doing wrong, there's a way to approach him. Sit him down and talk to him face to face in person. Tell me what's bothering you.
Mm.
Why all of this is happening? Why are you going in this way? What's gone wrong? And then they'll be open up to a discussion.
Yeah.
And they will reveal it to you, whatever it is that is bothering them. Or maybe you may find the cause why this person is going astray and what you can do to help him, inshallah. Azzawajal. So they also, when we are trying to reform someone, we are trying to rectify someone, this is the key ingredient to keep in mind, to be polite, to be understanding.
Yes.
At times. And sometimes we may superficially we say, we understand you, but we don't really understand. And when once we understand something deeply, then we'll be able to relate to that person. Okay, now I can see what's happening. Now I can see, okay, this is where you went wrong. Inshallah, let's come up with a solution. Together, mutually. Let's come up with a solution because as Muslims, we are brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us brothers. So don't let all of these superficial things or this thing that has temporarily came into your life ruin your life and ruin our brotherhood. Let's not do it in such a way. And to keep this brotherhood, to keep this kind nature of ours intact, we need to come up with a solution together, alhamdulillah. Yes. There is nothing that a simple conversation can't solve.
100% Masab. And you know, when we look at family quarrels, families which are, you know, separated from one another, maybe a brother had an argument with his siblings, parents, etc. And when we look at the root cause, what caused it, we find that it relates towards the tongue. Because suppose that there was a problem, right? And the cause for it was the tongue. How was it the tongue? How was the tongue the problem for these quarrels? Maybe the tongue backbited. Maybe the tongue lied. Maybe the tongue tale-carried, you know, tale-telling. Maybe the tongue swore someone. So because of the tongue, we find so many problems in society, so many separations in the community, in the families. And in order to solve all of this, in order to avoid all of this, one has to protect their tongue. One has to safeguard their tongue and instead use that same tongue to mend a relationship, use the same tongue to say something sweet to someone, to say something polite to someone. And in that way, as we've mentioned earlier, that being polite certainly has an impact. By being polite, you never know that that quarrel that is there, that will actually be resolved just because of being polite. I mean, it doesn't take much in being polite, you know. So this is something that we need to act upon, and we find this very seldomly done, very rarely done, that everyone thinks that this tongue is there and they can say whatever they want. But this tongue is for us to control. It is a ni'mah, a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be questioned about it. Yes. How did we use our body limbs? And our own body limbs, they will testify against us. So we have to be careful on how we use our tongue, what we say, etc. So together with all of that, we need to learn to say sweet things to other fellow Muslims, say polite things to our family. In this way, we will be uniting our family members, uniting the community at large as well.
True, Sayyidi, alhamdulillah. This is very profound, and you've mentioned that we should actually try to sweeten our tongue, not by having sweet substance, but rather the spiritual sweetness we must bring in, inshallah. So
yes.
And that can come by using this tongue in the right way, meaning you can use this tongue to make the zikr of Allah. You can use this tongue to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can use this tongue to bring two people together.
Subhanallah.
You can use this tongue to put an end to a conflict and a dispute. Can use this tongue for many good. It doesn't have to be bad.
Yeah.
But we choose to at times cause conflict with the same tongue.
Yes.
Hurt someone with the same tongue. Mm. Allahu Akbar.
And yet this tongue is boneless.
Yes. You know, a parrot. Sometimes what we feed the parrot?
Chilies.
But when it speaks, it's sweet.
Subhanallah.
It doesn't matter what you eat. You can have yogurt in the morning and still speak sweet, because yogurt is sour.
Right.
But on the other hand, you can have sugar cane in the morning and still speak bitter.
Allah, Allah.
So when the parrot says something, sometimes we teach the parrots. Like when some people keep them as pets and they teach them, say Allahu.
Yes.
Say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And various different azkar they teach the parrots to say, mashallah. And when they say it, it's so lovely.
Subhanallah.
And mashallah. So this is the proper use of the tongue.
Yes.
To make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the last hadith of Bukhari Sharif that kalimatani habibatani lirrahman. There are two words that are beloved to Allah. خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ, they are light on the tongue to pronounce. ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ, and they are heavy on the scale of justice. And they are سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. So yes, this is one use of the tongue, that we can say something, these beautiful words of the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they can weigh heavy on the scale of justice, on the mizan, subhanallah. Whereas we can indulge this tongue in useless conversations, which is going to be recorded against us.
Allah.
You know, like how we say when you are in a conflict, when you have a legal battle, and the police's authorities, they advise you that anything that you say can and will be used against you in the court. So we are careful of what we say, but we are not considerate of this permanent record that is being kept by Kiraman Katibin. Everything, every single thing we say in our privacy, in public, in when we are with people, when we are alone in our loneliness, whatever we do, whatever we say, everything is being recorded day in, day out. Imagine the volume it must be filling, the files.
Allah, Allah.
Allah. But when somebody tells us, you know, in the court, your words will be used against you, be very cautious.
Yes.
We'll know what to say exactly, precisely, exactly what to say, what not to say. We know that Kiraman Katibin are there. They are writing down everything that we do, that we say. But that doesn't make us cautious.
Allah.
This is our state. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to utilize our tongue in a proper manner, in the proper use for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. Just like how He has created us for His worship, the tongue also has a purpose to make the zikr of Allah with it, to do all the good with it, to be polite and not hurt anyone with this tongue. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we have, as I was mentioning, to make the zikr of Allah, to make the zikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have a beautiful kalam. And this kalam is composed by none other than Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. And the kalam is Ni'mate Baatta Jisam Tuho Zishan Gaya. And this is in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whose tongue is praising the beloved Mustafa in this kalam? Our Rukna Shura Haji Abdul Habib Attari. Damat for using, inshallah. Let's go and listen to this kalam, and we'll be back after the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, ya Habiballah, Naimate baatta jis sam wo zeeshaan gaya saath hi munshi rahmat ka kalam gaan gaya le khabar jald ke ghairon ki taraf dhyan gaya le khabar jald ke ghairon ki taraf dhyan gaya mere maula mere aqa tere qurban gaya mere maula mere aqa tere qurban gaya ne'mat-e baatta jis samt wo zeeshaan gaya saath hi munshiye rahmat ka kalam gaan gaya aah wo aankh ke naakam tamanna hi rahi aah wo
کے ناکام تمنا ہی رہی ہائے وہ دل جو تیرے در سے پور مان گیا ہائے وہ دل جو تیرے در سے پور مان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا دل ہے وہ دل جو تیری یاد سے معمور رہا سے معمور رہا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا
نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت دان گیا
انہیں جانا انہیں مانا نہ رکھا غیر سے کام انہیں جانا انہیں مانا نہ رکھا غیر سے کام للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا
نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا
آج لے ان کی پناہ آج مدد مانگ ان سے آج لے ان کی پناہ آج مدد مانگ ان سے پھر نہ مانیں گے قیامت میں اگر مان گیا پھر نہ مانیں گے قیامت میں اگر مان گیا
نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا
جان و دل ہو شو خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے جان ہوش و خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے, تم نہیں چلتے رضا سا راتو سامان گیا, تم نہیں چلتے رضا سا راتو سامان گیا,
نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا, ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا,
یا رسول اللہ, یا حبیب اللہ,
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویوئرز. سبحان اللہ, بیوٹیفل کلام اینڈ بیوٹیفل رینڈیشن, سبحان اللہ. اینڈ ناؤ وی آر بیک ٹو ڈسکس آور ٹاپک آف ڈسکشن, اینڈ دیٹ از پولائٹ ورڈز. سبحان اللہ, ان دس ریگارڈ دیر از اے بیوٹیفل پیرابل. And, you know, Allah sent Musa alayhi salam, Pharaoh. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam? He says to Musa alayhi salam, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا, speak to him with courtesy, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى, perhaps he will heed your advice or be fearful. Subhanallah. And he's an enemy of Allah. Imagine how we should speak to each other, being believers, being the ummah, subhanAllah, being brothers. It speaks volumes.
100%. And together with that, Masab, you know, in today's society, we see that often the times we see name calling.
Yes.
And for example, maybe someone may be short and people may call him shorty. Someone may be fat and people call him fatty, etc., etc. Different sorts of name calling are out there, but this is actually rude and not being polite, right? Because what happens is, imagine you call someone who's short, calling him shorty, how hurt he would feel, you know. Someone, yes, who's fat, you're calling him fatty, how hurt he would feel also,
even if he is obese.
Yeah, he would still feel bad. Yes. I mean, he would feel it. And name calling is actually, it is not allowed, it is not encouraged in Islam if that person does not like it.
Yes.
But for example, if a nickname is for a person and he is happy with that nickname, then it is fine. For example, someone may call a person, oh Abdullah, servant of Allah. But those kind of nicknames, those are fine to call. But today what we see, people are going all out with nicknaming. Calling other people names. Someone may be thin, someone may be, you know, fat, someone may be dark, someone may be fair. And for all of these, different sorts of name calling is there. And this is something that we have to avoid if we want to be polite. We should rather use polite words and not use any form or sort of name calling towards that.
Yeah, this is very rude actually.
Yeah.
Nobody would like it. You wouldn't like it if somebody called you names. And we shouldn't think that when we do it to others, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's not good. Inshallah, we should refrain from it. This is against the teachings of the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran teaches us not to call people bad names.
Yes.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, I hope we have learned a great deal from the commands of the Holy Quran, subhanallah, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the advices of Buzurganuddin, pious predecessors. Jazakullah Sayyidi,
Ameen,
for being part of this program. And mashallah, it is now time to take your leave, as every good thing comes to an end. And this program also has come to an end. Keep reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep you blessed and always keep you part of this beautiful movement of Dawat. الإسلام. آمين بجاه النبي الأمين صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.